Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's get started right into technique of the week. Salting your food. Something we all see, have, and know about, but are super intimidated by. So as home cooks, we are deathly afraid of oversalting. So we tend to undersalt, believe it or not. If you saw the amount of salt and butter that goes into dishes at your local restaurant, you would flip out. It is so much more than you think. However, it's the process of how they do it and the type of salt they're using and all of those things that play a part.
And it's what makes it taste so good.
You're right, Amy King. You are absolutely right. It is what makes it taste so good and what makes it so difficult to replicate some of these dishes at home. So we tend to undersalt as home cooks. Or the reverse is tossing a buttload of salt in all at once. And, you know, we create that dreaded salt bomb that we all know when you taste. And you.
My mom does that.
Does she really all at one time?
Oh, yeah. She's notorious for oversalting.
Yeah, it's a that it's how a lot of us do it in the home kitchen. So hopefully we can dispel some of those myths, kind of look at how chefs do it and walk us through it. So chefs will first tell you layering is the key. Slow and steady wins the race. Watch chefs cook on television or even in an open kitchen format at a restaurant. You're going to notice they have all these spoons. They're all over the place. They either have them in their pockets, they have them on the counters, they have them in a bain-marie or a catch-all there on the sink. And the whole key to this is that they taste as they go. They're adding salt a little at a time to be sure not to oversalt. And, of course, let the salt break down and slowly bring out the flavors of the dish. That is the beauty of what they do. That layering is what brings the depth of flavor, keeping in mind that salt is a flavor enhancer. A lot of people think of salt as making things salty. It should make meat taste more like meat. It should taste meatier. Bring the individual flavors of vegetables to the forefront. It should not make a dish taste salty. Now, there is a use for finishing salts and something when you want to give a pop of salt at the end of something I'll talk about as well. But you are bringing out the flavors of the ingredients that are already in the dish, not making it taste salty. Remind yourself, salt enhances flavor, pepper changes flavor. And those are the two major seasonings you're going to use. Salt enhances, pepper changes. So after you've been salting in layers throughout the cooking process, don't forget to taste and salt one last time before serving. That is something that chefs do constantly. They've been building that layer, building all of that flavor, and then at the last moment before it goes out, that spoon pops out again. Keep in mind they're not using the same spoon over and over, nor should you. Get a bunch of them, and they're just little tasting, just to make sure the flavor, and then it gets tossed into the sink. Needless to say, my wife hates that. It's like there's 20 spoons in the sink. But you're tasting a little bit, and then at the very end, you give it one last taste to make sure that they've married well and it's the flavor you want. When salting, and I've seen some drama, some human drama when it comes to salting a dish, and the techniques that some of the chefs do that are ultra, ultra dramatic. Salt Bae comes to mind. Sunglasses, tight white shirt, pew, from a distance. But you want to make it snow when salting a dish. And you know what? It's really fun to do, as well as being a great technique. So chefs will use their hands. They'll get a nice pinch of salt. This will come back in a few minutes when I talk about types of salt, the size of the grain, all those things play a part. Chefs use their hands. They get a nice big pinch of salt. They bring that hand high above the dish. I know you've seen this. It almost looks like they're making a dinosaur shadow puppet. High above the dish. And then they sprinkle in a circular motion about 8 or more inches above. I tend to go probably 10 inches above the dish myself. And you just move your thumbs against your fingers and let all of that fall like snow. It distributes the salt evenly because you're not plopping it all in the center. You're just seasoning the top of your dish. It's falling in a light dust of snow, salty snow, on top of the dish, and you're golden. That's what you're going to do every now and again as you're cooking, and then you're going to taste and see if it was enough. I was eyeballing some meat the other day, just ground beef, that I was browning to make some empanadas. And just totally impromptu, no recipe, just thought, I've got this. I had some leftover pre-made pie dough from something I was going to do in December. It was coming to its expiration, or best by date in this case. And that I'll make something fun for Max and me, because my wife does not eat beef. So I was doing that, and I did the technique like I normally would do. And I thought, when I tasted it, it didn't bring out the beef like I wanted. And man, I salted again, and it was too much. So I added some other ingredients, backed off on some of the meat and so on, and tried to balance the best I could. But it happens all the time. It's a hard thing to do. Chefs are doing this day in and day out, and they're intimately, truly getting to know the feel of the salt in their fingers. So keep in mind the salting patterns, evenly tasting in between, all those things. When it comes to salting pasta water and meat proteins, there's some other things you should think about. When we come back, I'll get into those. You might have heard some terms or some, you know, I don't know, people pass on this stuff all the time. We'll get into that, get into the types of salt that are out there and why kosher salt is so important in a kitchen. Explain all that when we come back. Technique of the week is proper salting, seasoning your food in layers. So stick around, we'll have some more. AM 640, live everywhere on that there iHeartRadio app. Hey, everybody, it's the Fork Report, all things food, beverage, and beyond. I'm your well-fed host, Neil Saavedra. How do you do? Happy Saturday to you. It's been an interesting week, a lot of passings in the entertainment world, including Meat Loaf, the singer, who, you know, I was a fan both of his vocal stylings and also as an actor and as a fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show since I can remember. He, you know, played a part. He was also a big part of the Tim and Neil show. We played his music quite a lot back in the day here on KFI, and all of those things. Just a real bummer. Of course, Louis Anderson as well. So I thought it might be cool to open the phones in the 3 o'clock hour and, as a tribute, talk about Meat Loaf. It hit me the other day. I wanted to make some for my son, and that I don't have a Meat Loaf recipe. I mean, my mom, I think, does, because I always enjoyed my mom's Meat Loaf. Maybe I'll ask her. But I thought it'd be fun to open up and see if you have a traditional Meat Loaf, or maybe non-traditional Meat Loaf, that you make, and give me some tips and tricks of things that you like or what your recipe is. because I thought meatloaf is one of those great comfort foods. So we'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour, opening up the phones. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. We're still in technique of the week. Want to get through as much of this as possible. I was left you on the edge of your seat about salting pasta water and, of course, proteins like meat. So much did I leave you on the edge of your seat. I got a text from our very own Sharon Bellio, producer of the wildly popular Tim Conway Jr. show. And she texted me and she goes, I'm listening to the show, but I got to run. I can't sit in the car. Please just do the show for me right now and text me what you're going to tell them in the next segment. So I gave her a little private Fork Report show. God bless her. We love ourselves some Sharon Bellio. So with pasta water, chefs will tell you to salt the water like the ocean. It's a simple way to remember a rough guesstimate is about a tablespoon of salt in the water per 1 pound of pasta. You really want to get it salty. Don't add olive oil. Don't add oil. Don't add anything else. It needs nothing else. As a matter of fact, oil can cause, you know, more issues. You don't want your pasta to have oil on it because then the sauces and stuff won't stick to it.
Okay, so Neil, then my question about the yes. salty thing.
Amy King, yes.
So does that then enhances the flavor of the pasta?
Yes. That is adding flavor in this case.
I don't usually add much salt because I'm like, oh, I don't want to add a bunch of salt to something for no reason.
No, it's, you know, the process. Some people will tell you, oh, you know, salted water boils more quickly, and it does, but not to a level that you'd ever notice. I mean, on a very, very, very small level, it does just that. You don't want to add it before it starts to boil, actually, because it can pit pans like aluminum and things like that. Even stainless steel can cause problems if it sits on the bottom too long. But it does add flavor and enhance the flavor of the pasta.
All right.
Yeah, because the pasta doesn't have any of that in it. It's got nothing. So you have to, you know, it's part of the process. It's not going to oversalt. It's not going to absorb it the same way it's absorbing the water. It's going to absorb a little bit of it with it, and it will make for a much better pasta. As a matter of fact, you want to keep that pasta water as well because it's gold, and I'll tell you that because we're up against a break. I'll tell you that when we come back. We'll extend our technique of the week because there's so much that really in the art of salting a dish. And as home cooks, we get it wrong all the time. I know I do.
Bellio is going to be so sad she missed this.
Yeah, I know. She's not going to get her own little show. She's going to keep texting me now.
We should all post on Instagram. Boy, what Neil said today was the best advice ever.
What else did I? Oh, whoever didn't listen missed so much.
Yeah.
All right, more salt talk. Kinds of salts, salting proteins, these type of things. When we come back, there's a brand and a type of salt that is used by chefs all over. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back as well. It is the Fork Report. I'm Neil Saavedra, KFI AM 640. Let's get the latest news now with Amy King in the KFI newsroom. All right, talking about salt for technique of the week. We'll wrap it up here. I have so much to get to, but I'll get to what I can so we can move on, including talking about tea, a new trend for 2022 that I hope sticks. And at 3 o'clock, in the 3 o'clock hour, we will open up the phones to you to talk about meatloaf, part of a tip of the hat and tribute to the now late singer. But I'd love to hear about your techniques for a meatloaf, if it's been passed down generationally, if there's something tricky you do, or you just have a great basic meatloaf. Just got one from a friend of mine, Monica, who went through and she... I love this beef, egg, breadcrumbs, saute onion, and bell pepper. Smother that thing in Heinz. Very solid. Very solid. So stick around. We'll open up the phones at 3. So get your recipes for meatloaf ready. Back to salt. Let's bust through this. We talked about salting pasta water. When it comes to meat proteins, do not salt too early. It actually... it changes and affects the texture of the meat and can start to cure it rather than keeping it tender and prepped for the cooking process you're going to use. So in most instances, salt right before you cook the meat is best. Also, if you're going to marinate, I've told you before, I'm not a huge fan of marinades on beef and things. It really doesn't penetrate the meat the way people think it does, and it doesn't do many of the things that they think it does. But for shrimp and stuff like that, fish, I think it could be really, really lovely. Don't use salt in the marinade, though. Use your herbs and your spices, take it out, and then do the salt before cooking. Moving from technique to the actual ingredient, using quality salt is a must. I know people are going to go, well, my mom used this and all that. All that has a place, and I'm not trying to take anything away from you, your mom, your grandmother, or what have you. All salt has its place. It really does. Diamond Crystal brand kosher salt is used quite a bit as an everyday salt for chefs. You can find it in the grocery store. I think I use Morton's here, but I do have Diamond Crystal. And I'll tell you why it's coming up and why it's important to keep, stay loyal to a particular brand in just a moment. So that's the one. Diamond Crystal comes up quite a lot, kosher salt. What is kosher salt? Why is it called that? Simply, it's called kosher salt because the size of the crystals. They're larger, and therefore they do the process of pulling out and drawing out moisture from meat very well. And that makes it perfect for using in the koshering process, pulling blood out and the moisture and the liquid there. So that's why it's called that. It doesn't mean that it's blessed or something like it's a religious salt or anything like that. Table salt, we all grew up with, was on all of our tables. It was in, smaller crystals, much easier to oversalt a dish with, by the way, because of it's so small. But it's called iodized salt. And it's been sprayed with potassium iodide. So it tends, for me, make it taste chemically and taste metallic-y. It does have some health benefits in dealing with the thyroids and things like that. You can do a little deep dive on your own, but that's the reason why they do it. They actually spray it for health purposes. There was some concern with mental retardation back in the day. I know that's not probably a popular way to say it, but at the time that was the concern, and that adding this actually helped prevent some of that due to deficits in the body, in this case, of that very, very chemical compound, which is why they added it. Just like they add certain things to water and so on and so forth. But it may be something that you should be curious about. You don't want to overdose it, but having some on a semi-regular basis can be good for some people. I particularly don't like the taste of it. I didn't know that until I started doing salt tastings and upping my cooking game. But the key to having a salt brand and sticking with it, like I said earlier, is consistency. So every type of salt, even different kosher salts, can have different shapes and sizes and densities. So once you get to know your brand and you're using it all the time, your fingers, you start to gauge how much salt you have in your hand. So you go and you pinch that salt and you do that thing, as we said, 8 inches or more above the dish and making it snow on the dish to create an even salting. Well, you get to know how much is in your hand. And if you change the salts, I think Bon Appetit magazine said it's like driving someone else's car. You can do it, but you're not going to do it as efficiently as you would your own because you know it so well. So different kinds of salts are used for different kinds of applications. Of course, finishing salt, you guessed it, is used to finish a dish with. It adds a crunch, little bit of flavor at the end of a dish, seared steak, boom, a little bit of that on top. Good night, Irene. Or on top of dessert, I make a chocolate chip cookie that has like a chocolate medallion. It's finished with a chocolate medallion on the top of the cookie, and then some flaky sea salt, finishing salt, fleur de sal, and right on the top as it melts into that chocolate, gives you a little extra crunch in the center there. Flavored salts, smoked, infused salts like orange or lemon, to name a few, all have a purpose, all can enhance a dish or be a finishing salt for something. But needless to say, I probably have more salts. I probably have 4 different types of peppers and probably 20 or more different types of salt in my kitchen. So something to think about, showy salts, great flavored salts, pink Himalayan salt, black salt, I think is Hawaiian. These things can add drama to a dish, all while bringing out the flavors of these things. And so that's our salt talk for the day. It's such a massive topic, but I hope you got some of those points there. If not, you can listen back to the podcast and always listen to the technique of the week. All right, it is the Fork Report. I'm Neil Saavedra, KFI AM 640. Let's get the latest news now with Amy King in the KFI newsroom.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.